Welcome to the daily VFN radio highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Oh, yes.
It's not just, like you said, it's here and there and different parts, but it's not just the weather. You're looking at violence in different areas. I was just talking to someone the other day saying that Brooklyn right now, they're saying it's been the most deadliest city in all of New York. It's five boroughs in New York, and they're calling it the summer of the gun. Hmm. And it's just time. It's like, you know, there's people are shot and killed and shots fired. That's where it's the perfect place for the church to run into, not to run out of. And so we're looking how we can actually respond to that. But you know, I was thinking about this as well. I was meaning to mention this to you, but they just instituted, they've been instituting the stop and frisk policy. And you see all these things happening on the face
without
of the earth.
Without probable cause?
Well, they searched 700,000 people in 2011 in New York, 700,000, mm-hmm. and arrested a very few percent of these people. There's just a huge outcry because the critics are saying that they're targeting, you know, Hispanic and African American communities, and a large percentage of these people there's no arrests are basically coming out of it. And a judge recently found in May that this was unconstitutional. Hello.
Yes, it's the Fourth Amendment right. You cannot, yes.
And so what they're attributing it to is two things, really. They're saying that they put young police officers out in these areas, and they're not familiar with the law.
No.
Yeah, so you think, how are they not familiar?
If they're not familiar with the law they enforce, that's not true.
Well, that's how they're responding. That's what they're saying.
You have to pass the test before. I mean, in NYC,
they're saying that because they're rookies.
No. They're freshest out of the schools who teach you the Constitution, beings that I was one.
Yeah.
You know, you actually are fresh with the constitutional rights. You have to, you know, have probable cause to believe that the person has or is about to commit a crime before you can stop them. Or, mm-hmm. you know, somebody can call and say there's a suspicious person in this area and they're wearing a Mets ball cap.
Right.
And a pair of jeans. And it's a white male. He's about 6'2" or something like that. And you go out there and you see a white male about 6'2", pair of jeans, and a Mets hat on. And now you have
Mets hat. Wait a minute.
I know you didn't get that. Wait before you get that. Well, you know, I was just trying to come up with something. And thanks, Eddie, for the help. And then so he can stop that person because they've been sent out there as a suspicious person, but it's not like suspicious people. It's
right.
They have identified that one person, so they can stop that person and they can search that person. Not you can't go into pockets and stuff, but you can pat them down to see if there is any danger for you as the officer while you're interviewing them. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're patting them down and the outside of their garments and all, and you feel like there's something sharp in their front right hand pocket, something that may feel like a knife or something, now you can articulate there's a reason why you're going to go into that one pocket. Because you felt like what it seemed to you could be a sharp object or be a weapon of some sort, so you had to verify. He could go in there or she could go in there and find out it's not. But they at that point, the law states that they had the right to be able to go in that one pocket and check it out.
Mm-hmm.
And so you see, everything leads to something. You can't just walk up and be stopped in the middle of the street. But the problem is now that things are so, and that's minor compared to what, you know, the Times Magazine is reporting in their August 27th issue here. It's called the wireless issue, talking about cell phones. And they're talking about, you know, our data. You know, the Fourth Amendment, you know, states that our papers and it's the Fourth Amendment. It says this is the Fourth Amendment to the United States Constitution. It says the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, and papers. Well, how many people? I mean, have you ever got a little notice from the utilities company or somebody like that and said, we're trying to save trees, so do you want to get a paperless bill?
Right. Said something in your email.
And what they're really trying to do is save administrative costs and everything else. I mean, they don't care about the trees. They're burning them to be able to make
going
electricity.
Green. Come on, they're going green.
But either way, so what's being said is we want to take your papers and turn them into data.
Right.
Which means our data is the same as our papers. So the Fourth Amendment protects our data. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And so then he says, so we can say the very same thing, since they're turning all of our papers into data. You know, you can search for deeds on your home. You can search for all kinds of things, you know, and find that. But it says, the Fourth Amendment says, the right of the people to search, the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, and data or papers and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated.
Right.
And no warrants shall be issued but upon probable cause.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Supported by an oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the person and things to be seized. So, I mean, they got to go to a judge that we elected.
Right.
Under a sheriff who we elected.
Mm-hmm.
To represent us, and that officer has to hold his or her hand up and say, I swear there's an elephant in his right front pocket. You know? But they got to be very specific.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a right that we have, because prior to that, one of the 27 reasons that you can read in the Declaration of Independence was, you know, that the Great Britain would just kick in the doors. The king would have his men just kick in the doors, take over our houses, take our personal effects. It's tyranny. They wanted to be free from tyranny. And tyranny's coming back, and nobody understands what tyranny is because we've been away from it for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And the beginning stages of accepting tyranny is people start feeling insecure in freedom. So you say a little bit of tyranny, you know, may keep me from, and it's like, no, it's a little bit's going to produce a lot.
Yeah. Well, that's why the judge found it unconstitutional. They're saying the judge because it relied on vague grounds. They use this fancy word called furtive. I had to look it up. I had no idea what the word meant, but it's stealth and secret movements, and that's what they were using to justify, you know, stopping and frisking these people.
Well, he really made an overt action towards his pocket, looking like he had a weapon.
I guess I don't know, but secret movements—that's a whole lot different than having something.
Well, yeah, I mean, I do come from a police officer standpoint. If I'm pulling over a car and I see somebody reaching down on the floorboard, the passenger seat, then that could be to me, you know, a high sign of probability that they're doing something illegal, you know. And then so I tell them, hey, put your hands on the steering wheel, keep your hands on the dash, because guns could be there. The reason why you say that is because you can be hurt. And they keep on reaching up under the seat. And at that point, you can pull everybody out of the car because you could be harmed.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a right to search up under that seat.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So that was an overt action. It could be, if you're talking about that word, that, you know. So if a person's walking down the street, I mean, it's very, you know, it's what you're going to see is fears on the increase, and you're not going to, this may blow you away, but police officers, they're human beings.
Mm-hmm.
They have wives and husbands and children and futures, and they breathe, and they have a right, you know, like Israel has a right to live. They have a right to not be destroyed.
Right.
And police officers have a right to live and not be destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
it's a real tedious line between you can't violate America's freedoms to do that.
Right.
And the scrutiny is so hard on police officers, but you still have the inner tension of, but yet I still want to live.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, and the worst thing you can have is a fearful police officer. I mean, if you're fearful, you know, you need to get
patting everybody down.
Well, no, you just need to get counseling. You know, you need to find Jesus, you know, if you don't know the Lord, and get peace. But if you can't overcome your fear, you're going to have to change your line of work, because you have to be able to be confident. I mean, there's healthy, you know, you should be anxious about something when you're going into something that makes you alert. But if you're just generally fearful, then you're dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to hurt a lot of people. You're going to violate human beings, people that you would have loved to known, you may destroy.
Mm-hmm.
Because you just, you know, the enemy will just jump in on fear and just do all kinds of things. Right. But with that, you know, I'm looking right now, speaking about that, John, in Time Magazine, The Wire, it's called, it's the August 27th issue. The wireless issue, 10 ways your phone is changing the world. As I gag my way through this thing, you know, I'm looking at the number, whatever number it is, but it talks about the police, you know, and the Fourth Amendment says that our papers have a right to be, you know, secure without unreasonable search or seizure. You got to have a warrant. And so, it states in this article that the whole paradigm for searching us now has changed, you know, because they used to have to touch us or come to our homes or go into our workplaces. But there's something now that's happening, that a whole picture of our life is being built. It used to be able to, they're profiling us, I guess you could say, with our data.
Well, they're recording you.
Well, they're recording every movement, every, you know, tracking and GPS and every text and every phone call. And like you were saying, what, the entire year's worth of phone calls can be stored on about 3 gigs worth of space.
For 17 cents.
for 17 cents. And it's the ultimate end times, you know, scenario that's taking place now. And we knew that when we launched into we knew all this. And we knew this in hopes that we can reach you, because we knew this is where you would be. You know, we knew you would be in this, and we wanted to tell you in this that God loves you. God's got a plan for your life, and you can find him and go to meetmyfather.org and find out how we did, and you can too as well. But it says in this article that in 2010, because you remember, an officer has to give swear before a judge to give probable cause to believe that a particular crime hazard is about to be committed before he can get a warrant or she can get a warrant. So in 2010, 3,000 requests for the entire year were given, you know, swearing before a judge for a wiretap, you know, the old traditional telephones that had wires on them. 3,000. But they had to go to a judge. They had to say, you know, I believe these guys are doing drugs. I believe this is Al-Qaeda, you know. I believe that they're doing, you know, something. And they have to prove evidence. They can't just say it. You can't just say, I have an idea, you know, that something's going on. I got a suspicion. You know, they got to prove it. Because the reason why they have to prove that on you is because you're an American. And the Constitution protects you. And that's why you have to stand up for the Constitution and realize if they change the Fourth Amendment, they can kick in your door, take all your stuff. And right now we're seeing a violation of that, because the next year, think about this, the next year in 2011, 1 year later, 1.3 million requests were made for cell phone companies.
Wait a second. From 3,000 to how many?
1.3 million cell phone companies were given requests for data on American citizens.
Wow.
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 That's 430% increase.
I was wondering if you did the math.
430% increase in searching and violating. Well, if they've got probable cause and they did swear before a judge and they are searching the data based on the warrant because the judge believes a crime is going to be committed. So these 1.3 million people, if it is all constitutional,
right,
and with our present, you know, leadership with the Attorney General and things that we're seeing happen right now, they're not too interested in the Constitution and what it's saying, and they're swore to uphold and to protect the Constitution and defend it from enemies, foreign and domestic. And I don't feel confident, you know, with what's going on right now, and the laws that are protecting our data right now, because the companies. So what you have is the very things that Americans have trusted in, and including the churches trusted in, which is business, money.
Right.
And now they're the ones that have all this data. So the government doesn't have this data. So now you have some young 27, 29-year-old CEO of Facebook that has over 900 billion people's personal data and information that they're tracking, who your family are, facial recognition, all that kind of stuff. And you're trusting that data, you know, that, you know, that there's no evil intent. You know, these young guys with Google, you know, Google.jez, you know, and all the things going on. And Google says, true, we do have all this, But we know the second that we misuse this data, we've lost our trust and we lost our customer.
Right. We lost our business.
But the question is, you know, what is your price?
That's right.
You know, what is your price? End time rule, you know, that you can't buy or sell without the mark. And it's just becoming so easily done that they're tracking dogs and they're tracking boxes of cereal. Mm-hmm. You know, they're tracking merchandise in stores now.
Mm. Yeah.
And so if they're tracking, you know, if a pair of socks were sold because there's some sort of, you know, transmitter on the thing that you can just pull up and walk past the cashier and it taps your stuff in your buggy, plus it taps your wallet because they're going to digital money right now. And I forget how much it says in this article, but maybe something like 50% of cell phone users, you know, do their banking transactions on their telephone. Yeah. And these applications that are going down, third-party applications, and including the company themselves, like Apple and Google and whoever.
McDonald's now. Go ahead.
They're keeping your data. And I think the law is right. Not the law, the policy. It's a big difference. Mm. But the policy of Google is they keep it for 18 months, identifying you with it. Mm-hmm. And after 18 months, they aggregate it and remove all the identifying factors in that particular information. But that's a company choice. It's not a – this one guy says this. He says, just because you can doesn't mean you should.
Right.
Think about that. Just because you can track everybody, just because you can know what their bank account has in it, just because you can know – you know, whether when they go to sleep at night, they put their phone by their bed or they put their phone in their office or they keep their phone in the car. They have all that. They tell you very specifically. Yeah. Right here, I'm going to tell you, well, it's this article right here. It says right here where Pat puts his phone down.
Oh, okay.
It says, where do you place your mobile phone device while sleeping at night? It says 1% leave it in the car. Mm. You know, if you live in New Jersey, it won't be there for long. Yeah. And then 2%, you know, wherever they leave it, some other place. 16% in their bedroom and 68% next to their bed. Mm. And 13% in a different room from where they sleep. So now, think about this. Now that people know every single movement. You know, as we talked about before, and you can find it on the VFN Torch, they're mapping buildings. Mm. You know, find that story while we're talking. We brought it up last time, but we didn't tell anybody what the story was on the torch.
Was the facial recognition?
The facial recognition, but it was the one that I was talking about at the first. And go ahead and find that for me, John. And when we're talking, and there it is. I got it. It is setting up end times tracking without us even knowing it. Mm. Mm. Setting up end times tracking without we even knowing it. And it's facial recognition, but it's also where they're mapping the buildings. Take your little mobile device, turn on your GPS where you're the little dot going around, which by the way, the dot is a really good thing because, you know, if you're falsely accused of something, it's like, hey, my dot wasn't there. My dot wasn't there. So if you're living a life that's you know, you're not concerned about that.
Check my dot.
But with that, you know, it'll show you actually where you are in that building. So they can map a building. You're in a mall or something, and it shows which store you're by, and it'll get advertising that relates to you where you're at and all. And so they're tracking every single thing about us. Well, the question is this. Okay, you have all this information, and a bank would have information on you. The military, if you served in the military, they have information about you. You know, you have a place that you work at. Your employer has information about you. But the question is, you know, just because you have this data doesn't mean you necessarily have the right to do anything with that data.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and just because you can gather all this data together on someone doesn't mean that you really should.
Mm. Sure.
You know, and so this is our Constitution has the Fourth Amendment fits this if we understand they're trying to turn our papers into data. They're telling us, do you want to save money on the paper and turn your paper into electronics, electronic billing, which means the Fourth Amendment fits already. Sure. We don't have to change it. The question is, you cannot search our data, and we have a right to privacy, you know, with that data. And privacy can be had, you know, in regards to that. And, you know, sharing things with Americans is one thing, but sharing things with the world is another thing. Right. And so we have our freedoms in America and records and things being shown, because in America we have a right to public documents and, you know, whatever. But also you have somebody in Russia looking at the very same stuff.
Mm.
And so somehow we have to protect our borders, our digital borders, the way that we're supposed to protect America. Is a digital border for America right now.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so we don't change our constitution. We just understand that we have to interpret it based on where we are now. And our paper, it's no longer paper, that it's data. And that if somebody misuses the data, they need to be held civilly and or criminally liable for that and violating somebody's privacy rights. And we have to, you know, get into, because 1980 laws right now, that's actually what is determining how we handle today's data. You think about 1980.
Yeah. Well, you think about original intent, too. I mean, we're talking about your papers. That's where you stored your data. You didn't write it on a rock. You didn't write it on a tree. You wrote it on a piece of paper. You know what I mean? So interpretation today is basically anything, like you're just saying, that stores the data, the information, that include any type of computer digital device.
Which is our papers. And right. So the Fourth Amendment says, and this is the original intent to remember this right now, and you can get that. It's the Time Magazine. This issue this week, it just won't stop coming to me. It's August the 27th. It's called The Wireless Issue, 10 Ways Your Phone is Changing the World. I mean, the last thing they have left to do is just say, hey, this whole nuisance about carrying it around, you just need to implant it at some point.
I know, right?
But the Fourth Amendment to the United States Constitution that our current president says that it's a list of negative rights and needs to be changed. Our universities are saying that it's outdated. Mm. Let me tell you what it says. But yet, no matter what they're saying about it, it is the Constitution that we live by, and that's the reason why officers can't just stop you in Brooklyn or the Bronx, like John was talking about. Mm. And if they do, they're held accountable for it, and if they continue, that they're removed from their work. But the Fourth Amendment is the right. Let me read it to you. The Fourth Amendment states in the United States Constitution, this is your rights. You have this right. The right of the people to be secure. I mean, think about that. Just feeling that feeling of being secure right now, based on what's happening, what you're reading, with all this, you know, Big Brother watching over you and X-raying you. You're getting searched. I mean, your bone marrow is being searched when you go to airport. I mean, they're looking at things you've never seen before.
Right.
You're getting searched without it being touched, you know, with a human hand. But the rights of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, and data or papers and effects against all unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated. And understand that when somebody looks at your data without your permission or shares your data with somebody outside of the confines of what you said, they violated that.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
They cannot be violated, and no warrant shall be issued. In other words, no judge, nobody can just write something up. No warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause, supported by somebody swearing this probable cause is true, and being very specific about the search, the person, place, or thing. And probable cause is defined as this, and we're coming to the end of the first hour, is this, that they have reasonable suspicion to believe that a crime is being committed, is about to be committed, or has been committed. And if those three things don't exist, there's no probable cause, and the judge says, I will not sign this warrant. Even if they swear by it, they'll read it. There's no probable cause in here. There's no problem. I cannot issue this warrant. Mm-hmm. And right now, we're finding ourselves searched day and night. Our papers are all over the world right now. And we have to recoup somehow and get back to the Constitution that our present leadership is wanting to do away with. Mm-hmm. And we need to find out what it was. That's the Fourth Amendment Constitution. You have that right without unreasonable search and seizure.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.